This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Right, good morning, everyone. Good. So, those of you that don't know me here for the first time, my name is JP. I'm the pastor here, trying to get things to work together. So if you think, if you sit where you are, what do you see what's different this morning? What do you experience what's different this morning? Firstly, I don't see a band. We're in trouble. So I want to quickly ask you, just by making groups of one or two or three people together, and just discuss with each other for a minute or two, just what is your expectation of the service today, and why are you here? Just a straightforward question, very simple. Just turn to one another and say, okay, this is my expectation for today. This is why I'm here. So this is also time for the kids to go to the back if they want to go to kids' church, because the service is going to start now, right here, right now. So I quickly want to invite you to get to groups of two or three or four. If you don't know the person next to you, introduce yourself. Say, hi, this is me. And then, just quickly discuss. Why are you here this morning? What is your expectation? And what do you why do you want to be in the service this morning? Right. And then while you're discussing that, the next point is I want you to list to each other, just say to each other, 3 points, just 3 things that you see as a form of worship in church. So what would you see a form of worship? What do you think that is? Name 3 things. I wanted us to write it down, actually, but you can't. We're not going to take that time now. We want to get to the service part. I'm very excited about this morning. So take the time and mention to each other 3 things that you think is a form of worship in church. Right. So did you manage to do it? You got your 3 things? Okay. All right. So let me just keep that in the back of your mind. And then we're going to discuss that this morning with a bit more detail. So firstly, you'll see something totally different. It's a new little place for me to put my books on this morning. Why did I bring it this morning? We've been talking about discipleship over the last couple of weeks, and on the 18th of October, I had my birthday, and this morning, the guy that works for me phoned me, or he messaged me, and he said, sir, I want to give you Isaiah 61, but there's also a special thing that I left for you in your backyard that's a gift that I really feel you will be able to use, but I tried to make it from the bottom of my heart. And why I made it was because this is what I see resembles you. So my thing was, okay, I did a couple of things, and then I rushed home because I wanted to know what this thing was. And as I got there, Odeon made this for me, a little thing. And he did it because he was supposed to do other work, and during that time when I was not at home, he took the liberty of taking some of the wood and putting this thing together. And it's as if God saying to me, you know, he really saw what was in my heart. And this is not to boast this morning, it's just to say to you what the impact of discipleship has. Because every morning or every time that I go pick up that guy, he's got at least 15 minutes from where I pick him up to when I get home that he has to sit and he has to listen. Or he has to talk. And if you know me, I do not stop talking. I enjoy the talking part, but I also enjoy engaging with him. And so many times he said to me, you know, sir, because he doesn't have a job every day, And I help him as far as I can. But he phones me. We have this chat, and I said to him, but what has been different in your life the last 3 months as I've got to know you? And he's like, you know what? I might not have work today, but I get up and I give my best and I do my best today because I know it's not just for me. So the track of discipleship and what we're busy with, and that's what Frederick referred to in our small group as well, that's where things happen. That's where real life and real stuff happens. And that's what I just wanted to share with you this morning. Then the second thing is, this is on a more personal note, it's my daughter's birthday today, Aninka, so we're celebrating that. She's turning 11 on the 11th of the 11th month. Unfortunately, the doctor was quite on time, so 9:30 she was born, and we didn't manage to get the 11 past 11. But you are welcome to just go and celebrate it with her at the back afterwards. There might be one or two cupcakes left if the children doesn't take it all. But it's made with love. It's made for you guys. So just if you get one, you get it. If you don't be upset, please. But just congratulate her this morning. She's a very special part of our lives. And if I tell you that the impact she's had on people around her, children around her, and the way she lives her life is it really warms my heart. So, yeah, just make it, if you can, special for her today as well. If there's anybody else that's having a birthday today, raise your hand right now. Good. And we can go on. All right. So here the service starts. I've asked the band to completely go down, or not to do worship anymore, just to sit and wait. Because here's the thing. What was your expectation of coming to church this morning? And your expectation was that you were going to walk into the door, and in the door, you're going to greet a couple of people, you're going to sit down, 9 o'clock, maybe if you get here, 5 to 9, maybe 9 o'clock, you'll still have 1 or 2 minutes before the band starts. Then we're going to do the worship service, or the first worship song. Then there's going to be announcements, there's going to be offering. From the offering, we're going to have 3 more songs or 4 more songs. So in the back of your mind, you might think that if I'm a little bit late this morning, I'll still be all right to get into church in time for the message at around about 9:45. Am I right? Everybody with me? Or am I completely wrong? See, I know the schedule because I work with it every week. So this morning, my intention was to completely throw that whole thing off course. So we come here, we come with this particular mindset of, okay, this is what's going to happen. So if I'm that slightly late, but what are we actually doing now? We are here for the religious routine. And forgive me. Actually, don't forgive me. If I offend you this morning, I'd love to have a coffee with you afterwards. I'm like Carl this morning with a peanut butter in the mouth. So I want you to do that, what you've written down or what you've got in your head with regards to the form of worship. I want you to work with that the whole time. And as we go through the sermon, as we go through some scripture, and as we talk about the form of worship in church this morning, my heart is that you will grasp it, allow the Lord to give you a deeper understanding of what worship is. Because we see the function of worship, and Josh, I really apologize because I gave you the hardest one of all. To prepare the function of worship. You know, and Josh came to me and said, it's really one of the more difficult sermons that I had to prepare. And I was excited about it. And don't ask me why. I was just excited about it because I love it when God really challenges us in that perspective of really digging deep into the Word and saying, okay, do we just say words merely to wow people in the front here? Or is what I'm speaking from here, from the pulpit, the same as what I'm living out there? And do I understand what I'm doing? So Josh, I just want to commend you on that. And really thank the Lord for your obedience and your love for the word and for bringing it last week. So he spoke about the function of worship. So what we need to understand is that function needs to, I'm getting it wrong all the time, so I'm just going to go back. We need to understand that form should support function in church. Functions are there, but the forms will differ. Function is that thing that won't differ, but the form will always differ. But form should support function. So you must evaluate this morning on your form of worship and what you've given to the Lord this morning, to evaluate and say, do you think God would accept what you've brought for him this morning? Walking into church, sitting down, having conversation, and now we are here. We've only done one song. We're not really into the rhythm of things. Do you think God has accepted your worship this morning? I want to read a scripture from Isaiah 1 from 11 to 13. And God speaks to Isaiah here and he says, they tell the people, what makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings and of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. And when you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgust me. As for the celebration of the new moon and the Sabbath, and your special days of fast for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. When I read that, it shook me to the core. Because here we give something of ourselves. But let's get to the context. You see, Isaiah writes the words of the Lord. He's actually frightening because God is not happy with the hypocrisy of the people's worship here. You see, he doesn't revoke the system that he placed in, but he revokes those religious ceremonies that people come and do. He's actually revoking the hearts of people. Because he intended this whole ceremonies, all of it, not for people to come and do the rituals, but through them to really love God for who he is. And if you go and read up in the Old Testament, it's not just a little 5 lamb chops that they place on the fire there. They're talking about, I read this morning again that King Asa actually offered like 700 cows and 7,000 sheep or 3,000 sheep. I'll read it to you later. But can you imagine the extent of the burnt offerings and the sacrifice? If I were to tell you now, bring 3,000 sheep for me, offer it to the Lord. Firstly, you tell me I don't have that. And secondly, for many farmers, it'll be their whole flock. You see, are we at a place where faith in rituals of our religion is more important than God, whom we should worship? See, God doesn't take pleasure in our outward expressions if our inward faith is missing. A.W. Tozer writes, "If you're not worshiping God on Monday the way that you did the day before, perhaps you're not worshiping Him at all." These are hard words this morning, people. So I can safely say that on the authority, he writes another thing, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on the earth who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Timothy Keller writes, God directs His people not simply to worship, but to sing His praises before the nations. We are called not simply to communicate the gospel to non-believers. We must also intentionally celebrate the gospel before them. An unknown source writes, worship is an incredible privilege, not a religious duty. Billy Graham says, the purpose of this Christian society called the church is to first glorify God by our worship. We do not go to church just to hear a sermon. We go to church to worship God. And Rick Warren, he says, work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of His presence. And Ravi Zacharias, anybody familiar with him? Hands down. Ha, hands up. Who's not? Oh, goodness. Go and Google him. I love him. He's a radical guy. There are no unique postures and times and limitations that restrict our access to God. My relationship with God is intimate and personal. The Christian does not go to the temple to worship. The Christian takes the temple with him or her. Jesus lifts us beyond the building and pays the human body the highest compliment by making it His dwelling place, the place where He meets with us. So you see, worship is supposed to be a lifestyle. It's supposed to be that a lifestyle out there and not a repetitive religious ritual that we do every Sunday or every week. So if you think back right to the beginning of the day where you came or where you had to write down to discuss it with each other and you had to think of what we have in church or what is our form of worship in church this morning, we come back to that place where I said in the beginning, form supports the function. And if you don't understand the function, if you're not here for the function, which is to glorify God, to celebrate God, to really be joyous of God, of who He is in your life. He's the Almighty God. He created you. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Then we need to go back and reevaluate the steps that we took this morning. So what forms do we have today? And this is what we've all been waiting for, that moment, that revelation of what forms in church do we have? Because this is what we sometimes do, people. We're looking for those forms and we tick them by the box. We place them in little lists. And if I go to the last, very last thing in my, I've got probably about 16 things that I listed. That's forms of worship in church. Now, I can give it to you, but what difference is it going to make in your life if it's not part of your lifestyle? If you don't step away from the religious rituals and start to make this an active part of your life. the Old Testament, the priest primarily led the people to worship. The king and the prophets, they had certain responsibilities to facilitate this. So between the three of them, they had to create, they had to organize the worship in such a way that the people really engaged in a love for God. So that was their responsibility. The priest first, and the kings and the prophets facilitated the process at the various celebrations, festivals, the temple, the tabernacle, bless you. And you see, the sacred actions of worship in the Old Testament involve things like burnt offerings, meal or tribute offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. The regulations and routines never were intended to merely dutifully, to be dutiful, but to manifest a love for God in a community of people, in the covenant of that community. The heart of worship was nurtured in psalms of praise and lament, and the call to remember God. Psalm 42 says, the first verse is, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 77 verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. The worship in itself was an act for longing for the Lord and seeking to glorify him for who he is and what he has done. So what happened in the New Testament? Things changed. They did not have the same externals as the Old Testament, but they were the similar core beliefs that underlie the form and practice of the New Testament worship. But what's the difference then? Two words. So who wants to take a go at it and shout it out? Say harder. I heard it something here. There we go. Two words that changed the whole form of worship in the New Testament. Jesus Christ. You see, worship, and I'm going to try and pronounce this word correctly, worship is not anthropocentric. Anthropocentric, very difficult word. So what does it mean? Because it boggled my mind. I was like, ooh, I can't say it if I don't know what it means. It's to considering human beings as the most significant entity of the universe. New Testament worship is joyfully Christocentric. Christ-centered. Straightforward. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 5, he says, now I would remind you, brothers, of a gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, and then after that to 500 people. So our form of worship today should be Christ-centered. The work and sacrifice of Christ replaced the Old Testament temple. Jesus is the greater temple today. And he has come, as we read in Matthew 12, verse 6. Just go to that slide. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Matthew 12, verse 6. You see, sacrifice is no longer limited to any particular geographic location, but instead involves the offering of oneself. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Just the next one. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So along with this, with the sacrifices and the offering of oneself, we get the presentation of spiritual sacrifices accepted to God. And that's what Paul writes here, you know. He says, which is your spiritual worship. New Testament worship is regulated by the Spirit and truth. And this is a part where you need to focus now. So John 4, verse 20 to 24, or 24, we're going to get it now. Next, yes. So tell me, yes, place it there. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming indeed. It is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. See, I can see this woman having this discussion with Jesus, as we so often do in our lives. And we so often have it with each other, but why is it this way, or why is it that way? Why do you worship like that? Why are you doing it? It's always why? But you see, I can't help to think of how the whys and the questions that we ask, it's just always here in church and out in the difference in the way we see and we worship God. But Jesus is so clear about our worship. It's in spirit and in truth. The Spirit in us reveals the truth of our worship to the world. I'm just going to repeat that again. And if you can, write it down. The Spirit in us reveals the truth of our worship to the world. And the question is, what does your truth look like today? If you have to evaluate that truth, what does your truth look like today? In the way that you worship God. So what forms do we see? Forms of worship is reading the Word of God, engaging with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel, prayer, spirit-filled services, edification of one another, songs of praise, dancing, lifting of hands, obedience, care for each other, serving, giving, exhorting, being merciful, righteous correction, loving each other, and we can go on and on and on. But if there's no truth in that form of worship, then you might just as well leave it. because then it's just a religious ritual that you are continuing with in your life. So I want to end off with one statement this morning, and that's going to be the end of the service from my part. But then we're going to reevaluate what we've had in the beginning, how we approach the service, and then we're going to worship again in song this morning with praises, with lifting of the hands, exhorting one another, really to get to the bottom of worship for the Lord. The function remains to be truthful in our glorification of God. The form will differ as we go along, because our bodies are the new temple of Christ. And John Bevere writes in the book Undercover, he says, the highest form of worship is obedience. The highest form of worship is obedience. And I'm going to ask the band to come up. And this is the part where we're going to reevaluate from the beginning when we came in. I want to read from you and end off with 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 to 19. It's not going to be on the slides. And this is King Asa. He was after, he's a descendant from Solomon. And God said to David, yes, I will have a descendant from your family continue to reign as king in Israel. And then people made a couple of mistakes, and some kings took more to the pagan shrines, and they because Solomon married into so many different religions that he, in a sense, he confused people, and he allowed so many things in his life to go on. But King Asa really got it right. He was in line with the Lord. His whole way and the way he worshipped God and the way that he ran his kingdom was from a place of good and true to the Lord. And this is just after the battle where the Ethiopians, an Ethiopian man named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of, and the Hebrew says, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, of soldiers. And 300 chariots, and they advanced to this place, and all King Asa did was he's, you know, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians. And then they went on and they covered a whole multitude of other places, and they took a whole lot of cattle, X, Y, Z. And that plunder they brought back home. And this is what awaits for them as soon as they return. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, son of Odet. Okay, so this is one of the prophets there. And he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Okay, so I can just hear this. You know, this 300,000 men coming back, and Asa is taking the lead. You know, they're so pumped up about this victory because God gave it to them. And here's the thing, and he shouted. Azariah shouted, and he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin, The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without a true God, without a priest to teach them, and without law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble, and turned to the Lord, the Lord God Israel, and sought him out, they found him. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation found against nations, fought against nations, and city against city. For God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard this message from Azariah, the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin, and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of the Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah, all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them. For many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign, so it was around about May, June. And on that day, the sacrifices of the Lord, to the Lord, 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goat from the plunder they had taken in the battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and their soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. Then, and this is it, they shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram horns sounding. All in Judah were happy about the covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him, and the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. And here's the hard part. You wanted to know the practical side of things. This is it. King Asa even deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down the obscene pole, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed from Israel, Asa's heart remained completely faithful throughout his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. So there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa. If you want to change the form of worship in your life, start moving and removing the pagan shrines that we all have, that we worship. And that is a practical part. We can have a list of 16 or 18 or 20 or 25 forms of worship in church. It's not going to mean anything. And what did King Asa do here at the end? He even deposed his mother, his grandmother. You see, here's the key. We so often value the family in our lives higher than we value God. Our obedience is not to our family, it is to God, and first and foremost. So your worship, and what does your worship look like today? That's the heart of it. The highest form of worship is obedience. So let's stand up this morning and bring our offering and our praise to the Lord. Let's give our highest praises from the heart, because it's a decision that you make of how you're going to worship the Lord and what you're going to do about it. That decision I cannot make for you this morning, but it is in your heart that you have to change. And we're going to switch the lights off, and I want you to really just dedicate your worship to the Lord this morning. And if you need prayer during this time, I will be in the front here. And I want to pray for you. If your heart is not in the right place to worship God, come to the front and come and declare it to Lord. Bow before the Lord. Bow before the Lord. Kneel and submit yourself and surrender yourself. Do not be conformed to the 2 or 3 hours in the morning, on a Sunday morning that you come here. Revise your attitude. Revise the way that you think. And come to the house of the Lord with the Lord in you before you enter it. Because the house of the Lord is not this building. The temple is you and me. And what are you doing with it? Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.